Welcome back to Create Your Own Myths. I'm Nicole Washington.
I'm Agni Bodu.
And thank you for being with us. Hey, hi. Again and yes. Again and again.
Always appreciated.
How are you doing, boo?
I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You went to the gym. You're in your CrossFit era again.
Yeah. I came back to it. It's good. I like the gym. It keeps me on my toes.
Yeah.
But I'm sore as hell. And sitting down, walking, anything, honestly. I'm deathly afraid to pee because I'm like, I can't, I'm afraid I'm going to miss the toilet. Like, it's so painful. I'm so sore. So there's that, but other than that, I'm doing very well.
Okay,
like the
good.
Fall transition was a good transition for me. What about you?
I feel amazing. Like, I don't know. I wasn't feeling amazing yesterday, but today I feel really good. I feel very much just like in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
These past few days have been kind of difficult. I feel like November has been there's been so much shadow work for me.
Okay.
And it's like I can do some shadow work, but sometimes it just gets overwhelming. And I'm also somebody that like I love the sun. I love to be
outside.
Just not only outside, but I love like my instinct is to really want to get to a happy place.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the thing to do is just to sit with those difficult emotions.
Yeah.
And it's just like sometimes it'd be like, damn girl, I'm on day five of that, can we move on? So I'm really happy that today I feel refreshed and really great.
Word. I like that you look refreshed.
Thank you.
Like, you look light, and I love her fit today. She looks amazing.
I love your fit too, boo. We're kind of matching.
Yeah,
we're both in
we didn't plan it, which means our love is growing. What?
You are always
growing, but today extra because we didn't plan this. Just so you guys know.
But yeah, so today I wanted to talk about what happens when you're the problem and holding yourself accountable. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because that's the era that I'm going through. Okay, so let's talk about where this started for me. So a couple of weeks ago, I had an astrology birth chart reading. And I know some things about astrology, and I pretty much know my birth chart from having the Chani app, but I've never had like a proper reading.
Okay.
And what I really wanted to focus on was like finances. I wanted to know like, where in my chart are my blocks around finances, and what is the best strategy for creating financial abundance for myself? And my goodness, this reading, it was not a like airy fairy reading. It wasn't like, oh girl, like manifest energy flow. Like, she was very like, this is what it is, and this is what you need to do. So she basically told me, like, you know, what is going to work for you is being practical, being frugal,
mm-hmm.
and being strategic,
mm-hmm.
and disciplined. It was very like Saturnian, the things that she advise that I do to create financial abundance. And she was like, in your chart, she was like, it's not that, you know, you can't create financial abundance, but it's not something that just like happens so easy,
like,
for you
and overnight,
flows to
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
She was like, you really have to be strategic and disciplined, and you need to be frugal for a while. And she was very much like, it's really important that you make your own money. And I have so much anxiety when it comes to money. And a part of that is because I didn't grow up being taught about finances and taxes and all of these things. And so I didn't really have a strategy when it came to money.
Which is not your fault.
Of course.
But,
you know,
it's frustrating. Yeah.
In the past, I have felt like it was my fault because, you know, it just feels like, oh, everybody else knows these things, but I don't. What's the deal? And so, okay, so relating this back to when you're the problem, you know, what this reading gave to me was like, not that I'm creating problems, but that the solution is up to me. This is no longer an issue where it's like, oh, I'm going to blame this person or this is not going right for me. It was like, let's take our head out of the cloud and deal with the issue. And your financial situation is a result of your own actions.
Okay.
And that was like, it was like so hard for me because I was like, oh my goodness, like I really need to take accountability in this area and start doing things in a way or start pushing past that uncomfortable feeling. But what I really want to talk about is the shame that came up.
Okay.
Because when you realize like, oh, this situation is a result of my actions, shame, a lot of shame can come up. And for so many of us, we sit in that space of shame. We either stay in that space of shame or we reject it. Like we want to run in the other direction. We're like, ah, the shame is so uncomfortable. So I'm actually going to escape somehow. I'm going to like try to get back to the good feeling and ignore the shame. And so for me, the lesson has been really pushing past that shame. And also I feel like, you know, then what started to happen is like November just kept rolling out the lessons of like, and actually, girl, this is another area where you need to get your shit together, you know? And so, and also like, I started to realize like, oh, you know, Nick and I had a little, like, we've had a couple of, I don't know, like arguments. And there were a few times where I really had to hold myself accountable and realize like, wow, Nicole, like that was really your bad. And you have to own up to it, not only own up to it, apologize, but take the steps to do better.
You know?
And that's the really difficult part because it's like, okay, yeah, you can apologize, but then it's like taking the steps to do better. And in order to do that, you have to push past that shame.
And all of that. So I, one thing I think is really interesting is the way we handle shame as children, because I think that is directly, it like definitely foreshadows how we would handle it as adults. I don't think we are taught as children in society, in the villages that we're brought up in with our parents, whoever, how to process shame properly, honestly. I think a lot of us are just shamed for making a mistake. And we're disciplined, quote unquote, whatever that definition is for, you know, your household or your, as for you as a child. And then when you get, become an adult, all of a sudden you're almost willing to do anything to not feel that shame.
Yeah, that's so true.
And then when you think about it, it's like, oh my God, like that moment in time when I was a child was so, like, it's so burned in my head that I don't want to do that again. Instead of understanding that, okay, I was shameful because I made a mistake. However, I was a child. So I get to process it. And having an adult who's willing to sit there and process it with you is what is beautiful. But also understanding that they're teaching you how to recognize when you are the problem. And we don't all know how to do that. And it's not our fault because we weren't actually taught.
That's so true. And that you just opened up so much for me because I'm just thinking about when young kids are in school and you do something, you get in trouble and you get disciplined by the teacher. So often it's like unhealthy shame placed upon you. You have to go to detention. You have to, something gets taken away from you.
Or like they're saying it to you in a group full of people who are just staring at you.
Yeah.
And that is also traumatic, especially for, you know, people who are shy or kids who are shy, like being called on and then getting humiliated is just, it's traumatic.
Exactly. And it's crippling because you need to be taught how to move forward.
Yes.
Because that's the ultimate goal, is how do we move forward? I feel like so many of us are so comfortable in staying in this place of blame, mm-hmm. or, you know, feeling like, oh, I'm so bad, I'm so this, and just sitting in that space instead of being like, all right, you know what? I did do something that was hurtful or mm-hmm. disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Or harmful, but how can I move forward from this in a way that I can learn from this situation, mm-hmm. grow and evolve from this situation?
Exactly. Like, one thing I did want to touch upon is, if anyone from the public school education system is listening, please teach how to do our taxes. Like, please freaking yes. teach us.
Yes.
Okay. I'm very fortunate. My dad is very finance first. So he was like, he would always like drop little hints here and there.
Right.
But he also like would give me tools to learn on my own, whether it was YouTube or whatever.
Mm.
But even when I went to college, like, unless you took the class, they don't put it out in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm paying you so much money, so I get out here and spend it all on what?
Edibles.
Ha ha. I don't know what those are. What are those? But no.
I just wanted to say that.
But for real, though, like, that or even, like, money responsibility.
Money. Sorry.
No, you're good.
It's my fault, guys.
No. Money responsibility, like, financial responsibility, like, even just as a single person, right? If you're out there in the world, there's a lot of people out there who don't know what to do. And that's why TikTok, YouTube, Instagram Reels, they blew up, because people want to learn.
Dude, TikTok is my jam. Y'all don't understand. I learned how to brush my teeth properly on TikTok. Time out. Do you know that you're supposed to floss, then mouthwash, and then brush your teeth?
I'm gonna try that today.
Try it and see how your life changes and the glow up happens. Okay, so there's that. But also learning about finances and just like parenting.
Yeah,
so many different things.
Yes,
because real people are being open and telling you their, like, how they learned from their own struggles.
Exactly. And, exactly.
Oh, you know what's so interesting? That is something that I think would be really beautiful in school. If there were times where everybody got in a circle mm-hmm. and talked about a time where they felt really bad or something, they had a problem, and then they talked about like how they navigated that problem.
That's a good one.
You know,
yeah.
And I just feel like emotional intelligence really does need to be taught.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, you don't know what to do.
No.
And so,
and these are like children, right? Like, not just adults. Like, we were children who didn't know how, and now we're adults. And no matter how hard we, you know, shame ourselves in that sense, we're not moving forward. We're stagnant if we just keep shaming ourselves.
Yeah.
So many – that is how addiction happens. That is how – bless you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Misunderstanding in relationships happen.
Yeah.
Like, that is how you disrespect people, because you're stagnant in shame.
Yep. Okay, so let me tell you how I worked through these issues. So the first thing is being really present with the emotion that comes up when you recognize that either you're wrong or that, you know, you have created a situation that is not ideal for yourself.
Right.
When you come to that realization, the instinct is to want to like immediately get out of it. But I think it's actually helpful to like sit in that feeling
mm-hmm.
and just allow it to wash over yourself, but also like give it love.
Yes.
Because none of us are intentionally wanting to make things bad for ourselves and those around us. Most of us are not trying to do that.
No.
So you can forgive yourself and realize like, oh, you know what? I'm feeling really bad right now because I've created a problem in either my life or somebody else's life, but I did not mean for that to happen. And so I'm going to give myself deep love like a grandmother would give you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then the thing to think about is I like to tap into my higher self. And a way to think about your highest self is like, what is the highest good for this situation?
Okay.
Because I also feel like the other human instinct is to want to be right, is to be like, oh, but I want to be right. I want to prove that I'm right, or I want to prove that my intentions were good.
Or but, the fear of being wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the desire to be right and the fear to be wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like looking at the situation from a bird's eye view. Instead of like being so only in your perspective,
mm-hmm.
just like looking at the situation from a bird's eye view and thinking like, what would really help this situation? And getting really honest about that.
Yeah. Yes. That's a really big factor.
Yeah. Like because, you know, I feel like sometimes we think we're being honest with ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but really we're trying to make ourselves feel good. We're trying to like,
we're like masking what's going on.
Exactly.
And we're skipping to the good part.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, but we want to get there. But it's like, no, what is the honest, where is the honesty in this situation? And how is this going to, or what is it going to take for this situation to evolve?
Mm-hmm.
And what is my part in that?
Okay.
And so then after that, it's about action. And sometimes you got to push yourself to do that. So, you know, I'll be transparent here. One of the things is that I need to take Halo to exercise more, because Nick is like so good at that. Like he gets up at 7 a.m., takes the dog for a walk, and often in the afternoon, he also takes the dog to the dog park. And so we got into this little fight. And I was really, now I can say that I was really trying to be right instead of looking, thinking about what's good in the situation. So I was like, oh, she doesn't need to go that often. And it's like, okay, maybe sometimes it's okay that, you know, she doesn't always have to go to the dog park every day.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what would be good is if I took responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and I took the initiative to take her to the dog park,
right,
as often as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized that, and then it was like I had to push myself to do that. It's almost like pushing yourself to exercise, because it's not something that I want to do.
Yeah.
I love my dog, and I love, you know, cuddling with her. I love being in the house with her, but I don't love going to the dog park.
Yeah.
You know, especially when I'm like doing my thing and I'm in the middle of the workday.
Yep.
But I, you know, if Nick is busy and he's already like done his part,
right,
I have to then say like, Nicole, it's time to do your part. And I have to push myself to do that. And not just one time. Mm-hmm. I have to like recognize like this has to be something that I'm holding up my end of the bargain here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you.
And so that's how I get through that shame wall.
Okay.
You know, it's again, sitting with the feeling, figuring out what really is the best move that is in the highest good of the situation,
mm-hmm.
and then pushing myself to action.
Word. Okay. I mean, word. So I guess I'll go now and I'll tell you, mine is very similar, but there are like little bits that are different. And I'll get there.
Okay.
But my main way of dealing with shame is super similar. I do have to sit down and like, I replay what I felt shame about in my head first.
Mm.
And then because, okay, so my, one of the forms of discipline that I grew up on was, you know, like just like using like this weird form of like shaming, of mm-hmm. humiliation. Mm-hmm. So there's always like it's like almost triggering for me when I feel shame. Mm-hmm. However, I've gotten better at it over the years. And one thing I do is I tap my chest as I'm going through that moment of shame. So whatever reason I'm feeling the shame for, I'm replaying it in my head and I'm tapping my chest. Mm-hmm. That actually helps me see clearer what my role as the problem is. One good example I will give you guys is about a year and a half ago, Alejandro was working on a job and I was taking care of both of our dogs much more frequently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I was done with work, like we'd go out, we try to go out, or like when I was done with work, like we'd play. My dogs are two chihuahuas, so they don't always like to be outside in the cold or whatever. And I'm using the dog one again because I feel like it'll help people see the perspective I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, and, you know, you don't need to be that deep in our business, y'all.
Yeah, honestly, guys. Like, we don't know you like that.
Some of you that listen, we know you. Yeah. You already know the stories.
Yeah.
Some of y'all, we don't know y'all like that.
Yeah, not
but
yet.
But we love you.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, proceed.
Thank you. So, one thing we get nervous about is cutting their nails. Because you guys know that dogs have nerves in their nails and they can bleed if you go too deep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So my bigger chihuahua is very dramatic. She will act like we are killing her, literally, like the screeching and the drama. It's crazy. So I always put it off. Like, I always put it off. Mm-hmm. But this time I put it off so long that the nail was digging into her paw. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know it. Like, I didn't know it. I might start crying because it broke my heart when I realized. Mm. And one day, Alejandro got back from work and he's sitting and he's like, babe, her paw, what happens is the skin around the paw calcifies essentially and it becomes rough.
Okay.
And he goes, she can't walk because of this, babe. There's nothing wrong with her leg. And I'm thinking I got to take her to the vet because there's something wrong with her leg. But in reality, there wasn't. And I had been putting on the nails for so long. And I go, you're the one who's supposed to cut her nails. I do everything else. And he goes, babe, I haven't even had a chance to breathe. And all I'm asking you is to at least let me know that I need to. And I was like, I already told you. I was so determined that I had already told him to do it.
Yeah.
And that turned into, and I remember telling him, like, you just ignore us. Like, you don't put us first. It was a whole thing. Mm. I really went out of proportion.
It was very defensive.
Very. Yeah. Oh, my God. I was like, I put up like a wall. I was like ready to run behind the couch. And so he goes, can you just help me now? And I help him. He holds her. I feed her bits of bacon while he's cutting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get it done. And then he actually had me hold her down because he had to pull out pieces of nail from her paw. And that's how much I had neglected it. And I was like, this is terrible. I'm a terrible dog mom. Like, I just got caught up in work and I got caught up in my own crap. And I felt so bad. And I remember thinking, like, I don't deserve these dogs. Like, I was sitting there with my shame. Mm-hmm. And then you know, I sit there and I'm breathing and I'm trying to, like, you know, hold myself essentially. And he comes over and he goes, you know, you could at least be a little more attentive of them. And that statement just set me off. And I looked at him and I was like, you're barely here. You don't listen. Like, I just went off. Mm-hmm. And I remember I left, I had to go take a walk, you know, I had to breathe. And he followed me and he was like, it was dark out. So that's why he didn't want me to go alone. And he was like, I'm right behind you. You can do your walk. And he followed me. And at the end, I turned around like 4 minutes later. I remember I looked at the clock and I turned around and I was like, I'm sorry. And he was like, it's okay. You want to go back inside and like fix her? But she was fine. She was walking around. The nail was out. She was great. No blood, thank God. But she was using the leg. She was eating. She was jumping. She was great. So it was just that nail, right? And he looks at me and he goes, I know it's hard when I work a lot, but I would just love it if you could just repeat yourself. That's what I need when I work a lot.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I was like, I'm sorry that I got so defensive. I feel like when you work a lot, the entire, like, what my work is and what the housework is, whatever, just falls on top of me. I just feel like it's a lot. So in the future, maybe if there's just like some things you can do when you get back from work, just so it's not all on me. And we had a, it was one of the times where we actually, instead of ignoring it and just moving on with our day, the way both our households that we grew up in used to do it, we actually talked about it. And he was like willing to listen, and I apologized, and he apologized. And it was just the, you know what the core thing was? We just wanted to be around each other more. And we like, we had to come to that conclusion after all of this and realizing that when I'm the problem, I'm very defensive. And instead of being defensive, if I just look, my, you know what my biggest fear is, I think, is when I'm the problem and I get defensive, if the other person rubs it in my face. Because that's happened. And I don't want to say with who, but there are people in my life where they will like try to get to the right answer before I do, just so they can say they did.
Yeah, just so they can say you're wrong.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
it's just like,
And it's because they're afraid of being wrong.
exactly.
They want to be, and you know what? We have an obsession with being right and being perfect.
Yes.
Like, that's something that I am really working on, like letting go of perfection because it doesn't serve anybody. And I feel like not being able to hold yourself accountable is holding on to this perfection ideal one has of themselves
Agreed.
because we feel like we have to be perfect. Because we feel like if we're not always right, or if we are in the wrong, we won't be loved. We are bad people. And
Exactly.
it's just like people fuck up sometimes, and it's okay. It's
Yes.
what you do after
Yes.
you fuck up. You
Exactly.
know,
Like,
sometimes people get in fights, people do things wrong. You might, you know, like forget something, or you told somebody, like, oh, this is how you do it. And actually, that's not how you do it. And so many times we are afraid to be like, oh, you know what? I was wrong.
You're so right. I have seen it. Like, I've watched it happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've watched it say, like, the actual situation where, like, all you have to say is, I was wrong. But the fear to even say it is so intense. And that's not fair. And I have been telling myself and almost unconditioning myself to understand that being wrong is just as important as being right.
Yeah, of course. Being wrong, actually, being able to admit that you're wrong means that you are an evolving human being. Because when you admit that you're wrong, that means that, oh, you gained some insight, and you now can learn from that situation. And like, just think about it. How many times in your life have you admitted that you're wrong? If you've never admitted that you're wrong, that doesn't mean that you were never wrong.
No,
That just
that
means
just
that
means
you
that you didn't
haven't,
want to see that you were wrong.
you haven't been able to face up to that. And that's okay. But I encourage all of us to really think about that, you
Yeah,
know? And
please.
there are some of us that maybe admit to being wrong too much. And when I say that, I mean that maybe you weren't wrong and you are placating somebody, or you're trying to be a people pleaser. So you're like, oh, it's my fault. It's my fault.
And we're
And
not into
so,
people pleasing right now.
yeah. So if that is the issue, then, you know, you need to work on the other side of the spectrum. But I do think that we are in a time, especially in America, the United States, where we, so many of us hold on to what we know so tightly that even when we're wrong, we try to find ways to communicate that we're actually right, when the better thing to do is like, oh, you know what? I'm wrong about that. Let me think about that a little bit more, or let me, you know, learn from this and grow from this. But it's so hard right now for us to admit that we're wrong.
I mean, I've noticed it, I felt it, like I grew up with it, you know. I get it. But I do want to say this. When you are wrong and you feel it, the situation becomes a lot easier. A lot easier. I mean, to the point where you're almost like you you look forward to it in this weird way, like, hey, I actually have this work to do.
Yes, yes. And because like, that's the way you walk towards the solution.
Exactly, exactly. And like, you get closer to the solution when you embrace all of it at once. And I will say this, there is nothing wrong with being the problem as long as you are willing to understand it.
And work on it.
But yes.
Because that action piece is important, because if you're constantly being the problem and not evolving, then it's
almost intentional at that point.
Yeah.
I feel like if you know you're the problem, but you think you're helping, whether it's like a white lie or like a manipulation, that's you making it worse.
Yeah.
Understanding yourself and understanding the problem, like Nicole said earlier, is honesty.
Yeah.
Like you, and the most important person to be honest with is yourself.
Ooh, yes. That is the thing. That is the real bag is being able to be radically honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be radically honest where you're at in this present moment.
Yes, yes.
What your strengths and your weaknesses are.
Yep.
And just being present with yourself in a very honest way.
Yeah.
Because then you can make the choice about where you want to go next.
Yeah.
And then it's like life is not happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these things are happening for me. All these lessons are happening for me so that I can learn and that I can grow and evolve. But I really don't think that you can do that if you're not honest with yourself.
Yeah, agreed. I totally agree with you. I also want to say that like when I am the problem, I have had to learn how to apologize.
Yeah.
Because I don't think – I'm sorry is an apology, but this is not one. I'm sorry you feel that way, but that is not an apology. When someone has said that to me in the past few years, I immediately know that they know they're wrong. And they're doing it anyways. And at that point, you better believe there's going to be distance put between me and whoever that is. I'm sorry to say it. No, I'm not actually. That is it.
Yeah, that's your boundary.
That's it. Yeah. And learning to apologize is a beautiful thing. When you can actually apologize, you heal and you help the other person heal.
Yeah.
Or the other people, whatever, whoever it is.
Yeah.
But please be aware that learning to apologize is a thing.
Yeah.
Just saying it and then assuming and you don't have to do any work or whatever. Like, it drives me nuts when I see that. Like, when parents are telling their kids, hey, apologize to her. And then they do, and then they don't have any follow-up.
Yeah.
There's nothing talked about.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, I feel like saying I'm sorry has become such a thing of, like, all right, let me just quickly move on from the situation.
Right.
And that's where it's like, it's more important that you recognize what has happened and what part that you played in the situation. That's almost more important than the apology itself.
Yeah.
Because
agreed.
What you really want is to not be giving those around you your trauma, your shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is it's going to happen because we're human. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's sometimes it's just going to happen where your trauma leaks out.
Yeah.
But it's like, then you just work on yourself, you know?
Yeah.
You just work on yourself and you recognize like, oh, that was my trauma acting out. Let me do better next time.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like when I've actually, you know, stated and like acknowledged that it was my trauma that was triggering whatever was happening, specifically with my husband, right? Like when we do get into like tiffs, he doesn't really argue back, guys. He mostly just goes, all right, babe. And that's really kind of it. And I'm just like, no, like when you actually put the effort in, the other person may not automatically do it, but they'll feel it. Like you'll make them feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want to give you the hope that they'll change immediately, but you'll definitely get them to feel that feeling that you're feeling.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Exactly.
But I do, you know, learning how to apologize and the way Nicole just said it, like it's important. Like you need to know what your role is in the situation. Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to bring this idea up of like, am I the problem? Because I feel like on the internet, I've seen so many things of like, oh, I'm in my healed era. I only hang out with three people now.
Yeah.
And so much of like pushing other people away because it's like, oh, I'm healed and they're not.
Right.
When I feel like, first of all, we're all on a healing journey. And so there's no like, oh, I'm 100% completely healed. And I do think that it's worth like whenever a situation comes about to like really think of like, okay, what was my role in the situation? Because I feel like we're in a time where we're so quick to point the blame at other people. Like even when I think about, I really don't want to talk about the election that much because I'm so over the election.
We did that already.
But I do feel like no matter what the outcome was going to be, there is this idea of like, oh, it's this person's fault or it's that person's fault.
Right.
This party did this and this party did that. And it's like, how about some reflection about how we can do better?
Yeah.
Like, you know, how about like some talk about like, okay, this is what I want to do better. This is what I want to create in the world. This is what I want to build in the world. Instead of like pointing so much blame, like it's really important, first of all, before you blame anybody, to really make sure that you are holding yourself accountable as you walk through life.
Yes.
And then, yes, it is important to recognize when somebody has done something that has either crossed a boundary or has made you angry. That is just as important.
Yes.
But there is a balance.
Agreed. Agreed. I want to say stop pointing fingers and give hugs.
That is so funny. I feel you in that, but also know when it's not time to give a hug.
Yeah.
Because sometimes
don't let anyone violate your space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree with that.
But I feel you.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean it in the sense that like, you know, I feel like placing blame is just the thing we go to.
Yeah.
We don't like, I feel like some of us, you know, most of us actually don't even think about it. We're just like, hey, it's that person's fault. This person did that. That person did this. And I get it. We're all in a point where we want control of that situation. So placing blame helps us feel like we have it.
Yeah. And you know what I will say about your giving hug statement? A way that I look at that is like, can you look at where that other person is coming from and like put yourself in their shoes and maybe try to recognize like, okay, if I was this person and this is why I would make these decisions, and just try to like get outside of yourself sometimes.
Exactly.
You know,
like try to see it from above.
Yeah. Get curious about the situation.
Yeah. I mean, don't, when you are in that situation, don't be afraid to ask questions, whether it's of yourself or the other party.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to know that this is like a fine line. This is complicated, right? Like problems are complicated. And when you realize that you might be causing one, or you might be in the midst of one, or you might be the reason of one, understanding it is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Understand it. And you, I guarantee you, you'll probably understand yourself a lot better.
Yeah. Or at least try to understand.
Yeah.
And make honestly, the effort. Guys, life is messy. Life is not like this cut and dry thing. It's like, I feel like we try to make it like, okay, good is over here, bad is over here, healed is over here, not healed is over here. No, it's a soup.
It's not a club. Yeah. Yeah.
All of the shit is in this soup, and we're all like trying to figure out how to do it, how to navigate, how to grow, how to be safe, how to be loved, how to love.
Yeah.
So at the same time, give yourself some grace. Mm-hmm. And
be patient with yourself.
Yeah.
And be patient with others. Like it's going to be an intense few years, I feel like.
I feel like that too.
And I feel like a lot of us are going to be working through a lot of things.
Yep.
Good, bad, ugly, dark, light, everything.
Yeah.
Please know that be kind to yourself, be kind to others, but also put up boundaries, know what you're okay with, what you're not okay with.
Yeah.
And just know that no matter how hard everything does seem, we're in it together.
Yep.
We are here together.
Yep.
We are a collective.
Yep.
And like Nicole said, it's a huge soup and it's not being done anytime soon.
Yep.
So whatever does happen over the next few years, we're all out here. We have each other's backs.
Yep.
And be nice to each other. You know.
Sending you guys so much love. Take care of yourselves. Please. And each other. See you next time.
Bye, guys.